A long time ago, in the time of the Romans, they made a very, very bad gzeda on the Yidden. Not only one, but a few gzedas. One of the gzedas was, Rahman al-Islan, a Yid is not allowed to keep Shabbos. They have to work on Shabbos, just like a Roman. And another gzeda, the Yidden are not allowed to make bris milah. On the baby, they're not allowed to make a bris milah. And of course, the Yidden heard the gzedas, and they cried, and they went to shul, and they gave tzedakah, and they davened, and they fasted, and they said tehillim. And the tzaddikim also made a meeting. What can they do in a regular way, b'derech hateva, to get rid of the gzedas? And they made a secret meeting. And now they sent a shliach to Rome, Reb Ruvain ben Istravali. And Reb Ruvain went to Rome, and he made a big trick. He dressed up just like a goy, just like a Roman. Not only like a Roman, he dressed up just like a Roman government official. Just like an officer. Like an important officer. In Roman clothes. And he made himself to look just like a Roman. Of course, for the sake of helping Yidden and doing something for Hashem. And he goes into the big building where all the officers go. And he walks into the building with his badges and with his special kind of clothes. And the other Roman officers look at him. And he looks so important. He looked like a big officer. Oh, who's that? I don't know. Who's that? And some of them were too embarrassed to ask who is that, because he looked so important. They probably should know themselves who is that. So how can they ask somebody who's that? Somebody else would be embarrassed to even tell him who's that. And they start talking now about the laws. The officers talk about the laws in that building. And they start talking about the gzeiras they made on the Yidden. And all of a sudden, Reb Ruvain ben Istravali, who looked like an important officer, he gets up in front of all the other officers and he says, "These laws don't make any sense. Why did you make these laws?" Ooh, what's he asking questions on the laws? He says, if there's an enemy, the Romans hold the Jews to be an enemy. If you have an enemy, do you want the enemy to be rich or poor? And the other officers say, of course, they have to be poor. You don't want to make your enemies rich. If they're rich, they could use their money against you. If they're poor, they can't really do anything. And Reb Ruvain says, so why did you make gzeiras to make the Jews rich? What? Wait a minute. First of all the officers together voted. So where were you? He says, I wasn't here. Why didn't you call me? Oh, yes. Well, it's not too late. We can always change it. After all the Romans can together either make the gzeiras or not. But what are you talking about? How do we make the Jews rich with our gzeiras? He says, look, they have a day called Shabbos. They have to close the stores. They're not allowed to go to work. And especially in the Roman marketplaces, this is a big shopping day. Saturday is a big shopping day. And the Jews close the stores. They don't make money. This way, we could have kept them poor. Now that we said they have to not keep Shabbos, and they have to open up the stores, on the big shopping day, they're going to get rich. We made a gzeda to make our enemies rich. Oh, the officers start talking. Yeah. We didn't do right. We have to get rid of that gzeda. And they voted to get rid of that gzeda. And they got up and they said, we Roman officers say, and of course we'll take this to the king, that the Jews must keep Shabbos. Yes, the Jews must keep Shabbos. Oh, Reuven's secret plan is working pretty good. And then Reb Reuven, as an officer, he gets up and he says, if we have an enemy, we Romans, do we want the enemy to be strong or weak? And all the officers says, the enemies have to be weak, not strong. If they're strong, they can go against us. If they're weak, we're stronger than them. So why did the Romans make such a gzeire to make the Jews strong instead of weak? What are you talking about? There's such a thing by the Jews called bris milah. They take the little baby by the eighth day, they take a knife, and they cut the baby. Oh, cutting a baby by 8 days, this will make the baby weak. And now the Romans have said, no Jews are allowed to make bris milah. Don't cut the baby. So what is it? That on the eighth day, they don't cut the baby, so now the baby will be strong. We Romans have made such a thing that our enemies should be strong. Oh, the Romans start speaking. Yes, we have to reconsider this gzeira. And the officers made a meeting, and they got up and they voted, and they said, yes, we declare that the Jews must make the bris milah on the eighth day by the baby. They have to keep Shabbos and make a bris milah. This is the Roman law. And Reb Reuven turned around and left. Kenelach, some of the Roman officers decided something is fishy over here. First of all, an important officer came. They don't know who he is. They never saw him before. Second of all, he gets up and makes them all vote and decide that the Romans have to make two laws, that the Jews should keep Shabbos and they should keep the bris milah. Exactly the opposite of what they said before. Something is fishy. Some of the officers said, let's follow him and see where he goes. And they saw that Reb Reuven, when he went around the corner, he went into some kind of a building, and then they peeked through the window, and he starts taking off all of these important Roman clothes. All of a sudden, they see a beard, they see a yarmulke, they see tzitzis. He takes out a sitter, he starts davening mincha, he puts money into a pushke. Hey, what kind of an officer is this? All of a sudden he takes off his clothes and he grows a beard right away and he's got tzitzis and he's got these Jewish things. Hey, it must be a Jew. That means he fooled us. This was a Jew who fooled us. And they ran back to the big building of officers. They made an announcement that the Romans were all fooled and they redid the gzeiros back that the Jews have to chas v'shalom not keep Shabbos and not keep the bris milah. And now, Kinelach, the Gzeres came back that the Jews are not allowed to keep Shabbos and they're not allowed to make a bris milah on the little baby boys. And the Yidden made a meeting in Eretz Yisrael. What to do? And they said, we're going to pick another shliach to go to Rome. And they chose Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Remember Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kinelach, was chosen to go to Rome, and together with him went Reb Elazar ben Reb Yossi. Reb Elazar ben Reb Yossi went together with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they're walking to Rome. What are they going to do to get rid of the gzeira? We'll see what happens. All of a sudden, Kinelach, as they're in the road to Rome, a malach, not a regular malach, but a Yetzer Hara malach, a malach that works for the Yetzer Hara himself, all of a sudden appeared to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and to Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Yossi. And Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Yossi all of a sudden got afraid. Oi, oi, a Yetzer Hara malach, it's so scary. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, don't worry. This is Bar Tamalyain. Bar Tamalyain was the name of this malach. Now, Kinelach, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wasn't afraid, but he started to cry. Not because he was afraid. He started to cry for a different reason. Now, let me explain something. First of all, Bar Tamalyain was the Yetzer Hara Malach usually making trouble. But for Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, because he was such a big tzaddik, this Malach came and he said to Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, I have come to help you and do whatever you want. Hashem has sent me. Now, we have to now understand. Even the Yetzer Hara Malach, in the end, who's his boss? Does he work for himself? Or the Malachim that work for the Yetzer Hara? Do they only work for the Yetzer Hara? Or the Yetzer Hara also works for somebody? Who does the Yetzer Hara work for? The Yetzer Hara also works for Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem. He even creates the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Hara Malachim. And why they make trouble and what they're all about, that's a whole thing to talk about, but not right now. But this Yetzer Hara Malach, who usually made trouble, he came to Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai in order to help and do whatever Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai says. So why did Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, why did he cry? He explained to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi, he said, when Hagar, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hagar, the daughter of Paroi, the servant of Avram and Sarai, when she went into the Midbar, who came to her? A regular Malach. Not only a regular Malach, three Malachim came to Hagar. Not the Yetzer Hara Malachim, regular Halakim Malachim from Hashem. Now, Hagar, the servant of Avram and Sarai, the daughter of Paroi, Aknani, she gets to see regular Malachim, and here, what do we get to see? Only a Yetzer Hara Malach. And that's why Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai was crying. A Mitzri. A Mitzri. Oh, a Mitzri. From Chan. From Chan. Still from Chan. A Mitzri from Chan. She gets to see regular Malachim, Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi get to see only a Yetzer Hara Malach. Anyway, Bar Tamal Yoin, he says, what would you like me to do? And Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai says, we're going to Rome, we have to get rid of the gzeiros of the Roman king. And Bar Tamal Yoin says, I'll tell you what I'll do, I've got a good trick, and it'll work. Usually I do it to cause trouble, here I'll use it to help you. I am going to go to the princess of the Roman king, his daughter, and while she's sleeping, I'm going to climb into her head. After all, he's a Malach, and he can do whatever he wants. I'm going to climb into her head, and I'm going to go inside of her brain, and I'm going to make her meshuggah. I'm going to make her nuts. I'm going to rearrange everything inside of her head, and when she wakes up in the morning, she's going to be completely out of her mind. She's going to become completely nuts. And she's going to cause so much trouble. Only when you come, to Rome, that's when, through you, because she's going to be mentioning your name, as you're going to see, through you, you are going to cure the daughter of her mishigas. And of course, the king will not know why she got nuts. She won't know it's me. She just thinks she went nuts. And because the king will be so thankful to you, you'll see what's going to happen. But just know one thing. Don't be afraid, Reb Shimon, but when I come out, you have to know that all the glass in the whole palace at one time will break. That's what has to happen when I come out. So don't be afraid. That's just a normal thing when we play our tricks. And so Bar Tamal Yoin Kenalach, he went ahead, he goes to Rome, he goes to the palace, and the daughter of the king, the princess, is sleeping. He crawls into her head when she's sleeping, and he makes her completely meshuggah, completely nuts. And she wakes up in the morning, and usually she took a walk in the royal gardens, and she eats her beautiful breakfast over there by the patio. And, you know, she gets dressed in her beautiful clothes. And this morning she woke up, and she starts screaming, and she starts yelling, and jumping up and down, and she makes like a chicken, and makes like a cow, and makes like a rooster, and a turkey, and she makes all kinds of funny noises, and she's jumping around, causing all kinds of trouble, throwing things. And, of course, acting completely mishuga, we don't have to describe it too much. You can just imagine whatever is completely a nutty way to act. That's the way she was acting. And the king and the queen say, "Ah, what's wrong with our daughter? She's woken up. She's completely out of her mind. We don't know what's wrong." They call the royal doctor. The royal doctor comes and tries to find out what's wrong. And he can't even understand what's going on. He tries to check her out, what's going on. He says, "I'm sorry, your daughter's completely nuts. Give her medicine, give her medicine." And he gives her medicine, it doesn't work. He gives her a pill, it doesn't work. He tries everything, it doesn't work. And of course, they call the royal magicians and the royal, hocus-pocus men, and they try to say abacadabra words. Hocus-pocus doesn't work. They take the magic wands, it doesn't work. They dive into the getchkas, of course, that doesn't work. Nothing is helping. And she's screaming. The only words she sang that they can understand, she says, "Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai." And the king doesn't know what's that. What's that? What is she saying? The only thing I can understand besides turkey noises and cow noises and rooster noises and all kinds of different animal noises, the only thing she's saying what I can understand, "Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai." What is that? I don't know what that is. And the whole day they're worried, and the queen is walking back and forth. "Oh, my daughter, what's happened to her?" And the doctors are walking back and forth. They're getting doctors, and nobody could help. And Kinalak, finally, as the palace is in this big emergency, and other doctors are arriving, and officers are walking back and forth, worried. Of course, they're not worried so much for the princess. They're worried about themselves. Because if the king gets in a bad mood from this, he might do something not nice to the officers just so he's going to feel better. Sometimes the king got angry, and just to make himself feel better, he starts punishing people. So the officers, they're a little bit worried about the princess, but they're pretty much worried about themselves. And all of a sudden, the trumpet blows. Beep, 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 beep. That's the trumpet that means that somebody's outside of the palace that wants to come in. And the guard announces, "Two rabbis have come from Eretz Israel, and they want to see the king." And the king says, "Don't bother me now with rabbis. Who wants to talk to rabbis now when my daughter is in this trouble? I don't want to see any rabbis. Tell them to go away." "But king, the reason I blow the trumpet now, this is important. One of them has a name that sounds like the words that the princess is saying." "What do you mean?" the king says. "Well, one of those rabbis, he says his name is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai." And all of a sudden the king says, "Hey, these are the words my daughter is saying." And the queen says, "Yes, our daughter is saying those words, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That's his name?" "Yes, his name is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai." "Oh, let him in." And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai comes in, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi comes in, and they come up to the king and the queen, and the princess is running around while they're there, screaming and yelling and jumping and making funny noises and doing all kinds of strange things, acting like a nut. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, "What's wrong with your daughter? I feel so bad for her. This must be the princess. After all, she's dressed so beautifully." "Oh yes, yes. She woke up, she's meshuge. We don't know what to do." Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, "Well, maybe I could help." "How could you help? No doctors could help. What could a rabbi do?" "Don't worry. Let me see what I could do." And they bring her over to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and all the doctors come over. Of course, they say, "What could he do? We tried pills, we tried shots, we tried everything." And of course, the magician said, "We tried the magic words, nothing worked." And the Getchka men came over, and they said, "We davened the Getchkas for her, nothing worked." And now Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai looks at the girl, and he says three words, actually. He says, "Bar tamal yoin tsei." You know what that means? "Bar tamal yoin tsei" means go out. "Go out, bar tamal yoin. You've done your job well. Now you can leave." And all of a sudden, Kinalach, you know what happened? All of a sudden, all the glass in the whole palace broke at one time. Remember what Bartholomew said? As soon as he goes out from the princess, every glass is going to break. Windows broke, glasses broke, chandeliers broke. I don't know if they had glasses in those days, but somebody was wearing glasses, they also broke. Everything made out of glass all of a sudden broke. But all of a sudden, the girl looked around. Mother, father, oi, I feel better now. I wasn't feeling well. How come everybody's here? Why are there so many doctors here? Why are all the officers here? Who are these men with the beards? Oh, my daughter, you're talking normal now. Don't you know what happened to you? You were mashuga the whole morning. No, I don't remember anything. I remember I just felt a little bit funny, that's all. But, Ginalach, everyone saw that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had done something to help the princess. She was saved from her mishagas. And the king and the queen were so happy and so thankful. Hey, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you saved our daughter. We want to give you a reward. Please come with us because you've done such a wonderful thing. Come to our room of royal treasures and you may pick whatever you want. They brought Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to the room of royal treasures. Now, next to the room of royal treasures, actually right in the front, a part of it, was also the room of laws, where they make a law, they write it down on a special thing, and they put the law there on the shelf. Now, they opened the door for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. In front of him was gold and silver and diamonds and jewels and expensive fancy schmancy stuff that you'd find in a king's palace. And they say you could take whatever you want. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai walked over to the shelf of laws. And he says, I'm not interested in silver and gold and diamonds and all this fancy schmancy stuff. I would like to just take one thing. And he walked over to the shelf and he looked through the laws and he took down the law where it says Jews are not allowed to keep Shabbos. And he broke it into pieces. No more of this. That's all I want. One more thing. He took the law where it says Jews are not allowed to make the Bris Milah and he broke that thing into pieces that it should no longer be a law. And he says, King, Queen, all I want is the Jews should be able to have Shabbos again, make Bris Milah, and these kind of laws should not be made again against the Jews. And he left the palace. He said goodbye. And of course, they waved. Everybody waved. Everybody waved goodbye to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he went back with Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi back to Eretz Yisrael. And everything, Baruch Hashem, was much better in Eretz Israel. And that, kiddies, is the story. There was once a tzaddik and a Talmud Chochem, and he was learning Gemara. And he came to a very, very hard part of the Gemara. And he couldn't figure it out. And he kept trying, and he kept trying to figure out this very hard part of the Torah. And even he learned with his friend and his chavrusa, and they tried to figure out, and they couldn't figure it out. And he spent a day, and he spent a night, and he got very late in the night, he got so tired, he had to go to sleep, and he woke up early in the morning, and he tried the whole day to figure out that piece of teda, and he tried for 1 day, and 2 days, and 5 days, and a week, until 2 weeks. For 2 whole weeks, he just every day struggled to understand that one piece of Torah. Until finally, after 2 weeks, he broke through, he had a big flash of light in his head, and all of a sudden he understood it. All of a sudden, for the first time, he understood that piece of Torah. And he was so happy. After working so hard, he finally figured it out. And Kinalach, he had another friend who was also a big tzaddik and a Talmud Chochem, and he wanted to go and tell him the answer that how he figured out that piece of Torah, because his friend knew that he was struggling with it. And he wanted to go and tell him what he figured out, how to explain the Gemara. And he went to that friend's yeshiva. That friend was a Rosh Yeshiva. And he was sitting at the table in front of the yeshiva. And the yeshiva was filled with boys learning Gemara and learning Torah. And the tzaddik Talmud Chacham starts walking across the yeshiva to his friend. And as he's walking across the floor, he passes by a table. And at this table were sitting two young boys, over bar mitzvah, but still young boys. And they're learning Gemara. And all of a sudden he hears that the two boys are learning exactly the Gemara that he was learning. And they came exactly to the place that was so difficult, and that he had just worked for 2 weeks to figure out. And they just now came in their learning to this place. So he thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to just go over there and listen to, you know, how they figure it out. I'm just curious how two young boys who are learning this for the first time, and it's such a difficult part of the Gemara, how are they going to figure it out? How are they going to explain it? And he goes over there close to the table and he's listening. You know what happened? Right away, when they were figuring out, those two boys were learning the Gemara together, right away they explained it exactly according to the way this big tzaddik had just figured it out and it just worked for 2 weeks. And they went right away and just started explaining it exactly the way that he had figured it out and he was going to explain it to his friend. Kinalach, how do you think he felt? This big tzaddik and Talmud Chacham, who was not a young man, he was an old man. And he had been learning Torah for so many years. And he was just now struggling to break his head on this piece of Torah for 2 weeks, and now he got a big flash of light, and he's going to go tell his friend about it. These two young boys came for the first time and are now figuring out that Gemara, and they explained it exactly the same way. How can this be? Now, the big tzaddik and Talmud Chacham just couldn't believe it. He goes over to his friend, the Rosh Hashiva, and he tells him what happened. And his friend smiles and he says, I know exactly what happened. Now this is very interesting. You have to listen to this. He says like this. If you would have never figured out that piece of Torah, they would never have been able to explain it and figure it out. Now why were they able to? Because before you figured it out, that piece of Gemara was very difficult. And nobody in the world could understand it very, very well. There was just different ways to explain it here and there. And even those who could explain it and understand it, it was very difficult for them. But when you worked for 2 weeks and you broke your head and struggled to figure it out, you brought a light not only to your head, but you broke through and brought a light into the whole world. Because the light of the Torah is not just in one place, right? The light of the Torah is something that's in Ruchnius. It's everywhere. And because you brought the light into the world, those boys were also able to understand the Gemara. Because you broke through the way for everyone. Do you understand this, boys? Like Avraham Avinu. He was the first one to have such Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem. Now, he broke through a certain way that not only he could have Mesiras Nefesh, every Yid could have Mesiras Nefesh. You understand? And the same thing with different Tzaddikim. They did certain things and they broke through the way that others could do certain things. And the same thing with the Yamim Tovim, like by Purim. Everything was going against the Yidden, and all of a sudden everything changed around, and Hashem helped with big miracles, right? So not only it happens by Purim, but that broke through a way that it could always happen. By Pesach. What happened by Pesach? The Yidden were in Mitzrayim, and they went free, away from Paroi. Did it only happen by Pesach? Or it could happen any time that Yidden have a difficulty, and there's people that are against them, and they can break through and go free from their enemies. Okay, it breaks through the way. Everything that happens into the world from Hashem